You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Okay, well, good morning to you. If you're a regular Jubileer, welcome. If you've been watching regularly in the lockdown, then welcome. Or if this is the first time you're signing in to the Jubilee service, then you're very welcome too. We love to have visitors and it's great to be with you this morning. My name's Nathan, I'm one of the elders at Jubilee Church in Farnham, and I'm going to bring the second part in the series that we're looking at, where Rick looked last week about loving God. Today I'm going to look about loving others. But before I go into my sermon, what an extraordinary week it has been. Clearly, we find ourselves in yet another lockdown, rather uniquely named Lockdown 3, and that has lots of implications for all of us, I'm sure, for parents who are now teaching their children at home, and for people who are living by themselves, now once again being very isolated. My thoughts and my prayers go out to you as we grapple with the changes required to adapt to this lockdown. And clearly it's been an extraordinary week in other ways as well. I'm sure many of you will have looked and heard about the news of how the NHS is being overwhelmed and is overwhelmed by the number of cases of COVID-19. And so our thoughts and prayers also go out to people who work in the NHS, families that have people who work in the NHS. Clearly the toll and the pressures on them are extraordinary, and our prayers go out to them. But praise God, we serve a God who is faithful, and I pray that all of you would know his peace, his love, his joy, his compassion, and his friendship in this time. And know that his love for us is immeasurable. It is so vast and so great. So let's move on to our sermon this morning about loving others. And before I move on to that, I thought it would be great just to recap on the sermon that Rick gave last week, where he looked at loving God, and he talked about emerging well from this lockdown and how many of us have seen it as a tunnel and we're trying to get to the end of this deep dark tunnel. And praise God, there is in fact a light at the end of the tunnel, and many of the politicians are using these similar analogies to talk about COVID-19. And we need to keep our trust and our hope in that vaccine, and hope and pray that God will indeed deliver us from this. We're going to be we've got a sermon of three, looking at loving God, loving others, and loving life, which is our kind of motto, I suppose, or our strapline for Jubilee Church. So at the start of a new year, 2021, we thought it was really fitting and appropriate to look at that. And that will then lead us into our Vision Sunday, which will be on Sunday the 24th. So Rick looked at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 onwards, where it talks about the greatest commandment, where somebody asks him, a lawyer asks him, what is the greatest commandment? And we're told that it's about loving God with all you've got, effectively. And Rick looked at two things. He looked at why should we love God, and he first of all talked about an act of obedience and a commandment, and that we should just basically do it because we're told to. And he talked about how brilliant a principle that was. He talked about the fact that God made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in him. He also looked at the how to love God, and there was again a great focus from Rick on that, and he looked at four P's from the apostle the apostle Paul. So lots of P's there, good use of alliteration, Rick, although apostle doesn't strictly start with a P, but it's got a very strong presence of a P in there. So four P's from Paul the Apostle. And he talked about these four things: presence, being hungry for the presence of God. And as we face another lockdown, we so need to know that in our lives, don't we? We need to know the presence of God in our homes, in our work lives, in our family lives, in our car journeys, whatever it might be. We need to know the very presence of God. Second was about perspective, and that it informed and shaped by the truths and realities of God. And the Word of God is central to the revelation of God. And so it was all about the perspective and knowing about the importance of reading the Bible. The third P was prayer, and he looked at how Paul prayed in his really times of difficulty when he was locked up. He knew the power of prayer. He prayed without ceasing, it tells us. He prayed in tongue. He told us to devote ourselves to prayer and also pray with an attitude of thanksgiving, which is so important as we go into this lockdown. And the final P was about praising God. And those of you who will know, I love to praise and worship God. It's one of the ways in which I really show my gratitude to God. And praise is about living in the kingdom of God, knowing that we were once dead, but we are now alive in Him, in Christ Jesus, and to be abundant in our praise to Him because of that. So that's a quick recap on about praising God. Now we're going to look, about loving God. And now we're going to look at loving others. And I'm also going to steal Rick's format, if that's okay, Rick. So I'm going to look at why we should love others, and then I'm going to look at how we should love others. And we're going to look at a story that Jesus tells. And so first of all, why? Well, the whole notion of loving others is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. I couldn't really actually get a definitive answer as to how many times it's mentioned, because of course it's mentioned in lots of different guises. And in a lot of the times it's talk about loving your neighbor. And right back, even at the beginning of the Old Testament, the first mention of this can be found in Leviticus chapter 19 verse 8, where it talks about loving others. And it's mentioned lots and lots of times, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, Rick quoted from Matthew chapter 22, which is probably the real go-to scripture. I'm just going to read from it again because it just lands us in the context of this sermon. So it says, this is the great commandment that Jesus gives in Matthew 22. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it," which we're going to focus on today. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So clearly there went back to saying, why should we love others? Well, because we're commanded to. Again, just like we're commanded to love God, we're commanded to love one another. We're told repeatedly through scriptures about the importance and the benefits of loving others. Paul says this in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another hath fulfilled the law," which we've just heard about. "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So we're called to love each other through the scriptures. And there's other verses which I'm going to quote later, but I'll just refer to now. We're also, the other reason why we love others is because God first loved us. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross. And because of his love for us, so we too should love others. And as Christians, one of the ways we are able to show gratitude for the amazing sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, one of the ways in which we're able to repay him for that debt which we didn't deserve, is to reflect his love for us on other people. There's a quote which I found whilst researching for this sermon. It says, "We love others best when we love God most." So if we get the first bit right, and there's an important structure to these three aspects that we'll be looking at over these 3 weeks. If we get that first bit right about loving God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, if we get that right, then we can go on to love others with a love that comes from God. Let me say that again. We love others best when we love God most. The other reason why we love God is because He is a limitless God. His love for us is limitless. It knows no bounds. We can quote scriptures that talk about your love for us is as high as the heavens from the earth, as far as the east is from the west. There is no escaping the love of God for us. And because it is so immeasurable and so vast, that is another reason why we should share that love with our neighbours, with those around us, with those we come into contact with our friends, with our family, with our work colleagues, and dare I even say it, those people who we might find it more difficult to get on with. I'm throwing out loads of scriptures because, of course, there's a huge array, a vast choice of scriptures that talk about the importance of loving others. And this is another one. If you have your Bibles, we'll just turn to 1 John chapter 4, and I'm just going to have to find this as well now because I've got the other scripture ready, and this Bible is so small that it makes all of the books really small, and this is where I have to rely on my brain to remember the order. Here we are, we've got it here. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, it says this, reading from verse 7 to 21, so it's quite a chunk. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, and God lives in them and they in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Gosh, we need that, don't we, in this day and age? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. A great passage there. A long one, but I thought it would be really helpful just to read that out. And perhaps if you want to spend some more time reflecting on what I'm talking about this morning, then you could spend some time looking over that again, because that is a scripture that is rich in the instruction of love. It talks so deeply and extensively about what it means to be loved by God and to love others. So we often think of love as a feeling and a way we might feel. And of course, that's true and that's right. But you'll often hear people talking about love being a verb or a doing word. And Jesus is the ultimate example of this, not only by the laying down of his life and dying for us on the cross, but also as he lived here on earth. His life demonstrated his love for the disciples, his love for people who were following him, his love for people who were in need, people who needed healing, people who needed food, people who needed water turning into wine. Jesus's life is an example of the love of God. It clearly shows that God loves us and we are to love others. The other why is this. Why should we love others? Well, in John 13, chapter 35, it says, when we love others, we reveal the invisible God to others. So why do we want to love others? Well, because it will point people to the love of God. If we demonstrate practically, if we demonstrate in a real true way the love that we have from God to others, then it will declare how amazing God is. It will point them to God. It will show them how amazing He is. So, another quote that I found on the internet actually when doing the research for this sermon was this, and I really liked it. It wasn't clear where it came from, but it says this, love others so radically that they wonder why. And clearly that's pointing to the scripture I've just read there from John 13, 35. Love others so radically that they wonder why. So hopefully that gives you some ideas about why we should love God, why we should love others as well, and particularly looking at how we should love our neighbour and love our brothers and sisters. So to love, that's the why. Now we're going to move on to the how. Now in the Old Testament, again I'm just looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are a whole bunch of rules. Some of them in our context of society are quite strange. They, you know, talk about obviously looking after cattle and things like that, and there are a whole bunch of rules in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Some of them are really strange, but essentially they are telling you how to love other people. And of course in the New Testament it also tells us how to love others. So if we are to truly love others, we need to know the love God has for us, how vast, how wide, and how deep it is. And I'm just going to tell a little bit story about how to love. Sometimes we can have the best of intentions. I read a story about someone who was wanting to set a New Year's resolution. And clearly this is a time of year where perhaps some of you have set New Year's resolutions. I can't say that I have particularly, but there we go. So, but this person had set a New Year's resolution about being positive and affirming and encouraging his wife. And he'd done this and he'd kind of, you know, put it on his to-do list, as it were. And he literally did that. He literally, I think it talked about him getting an app and adding it to his to-do list. And then he would get to the end of the day and realize that he hadn't said anything encouraging to his wife. And so he would say to his wife, I don't know, something like, you're a brilliant mum. And it got to a point where this had become quite stale, and actually he would end up, you know, just before going to bed, realizing that he hadn't said anything and hadn't kind of ticked it off of his to-do list. And so he would say something quickly, and it got to a point where he was saying the same thing over and over again, and his wife kind of rumbled him and say, you know, darling, you're clearly doing this in some sort of checklist. And I suppose in a way what she was saying was that he wasn't getting it right. And he talks about this, and I thought it was quite a clever phrase, just doing something right doesn't mean you're doing it right. So actually, it had the best intentions at heart. It's clearly a great thing to encourage our spouses, encourage our children, and encourage our friends and our family. But if we're doing it out of religion or doing it out of routine, then it becomes very stale, very dry, and unlike what the love of God would be for us. And so I suppose it's just about making sure that we have that love of God first, because then we can love others. So don't love other people. The point I'm getting out of this is don't love other people out of religion or routine. The love that you have for other people should come naturally and flow out of the love that you have for God and the love that God has for us. So, you know, we're in lockdown 3, and clearly there are lots of ways that we could show love towards each other. And, you know, I don't think it really needs me to sit here and tell you those different ways, but it would be great, wouldn't it, if we could extend the love of God to others during this time, practically, in real ways, without it being out of religion or duty, but being out of a desire to share the love of God with other people. And I'm so encouraged to hear of many examples where members of the congregation at Jubilee support each other in love. They support each other in difficult times, but also friendship and the love that we share amongst each other as a family, as a church, is so encouraging. And if that's something that you're interested in, perhaps you feel isolated at this particular time, going into an extended period of lockdown, please do get in contact with us. We would love for you to come and talk to us so we can incorporate you into our network of love. We love sharing our lives with each other. We love to support and help and walk alongside each other. We're encouraged to do that as Christians, so it would be great to do that. But what about these other ways? What about being showing love is about extending grace and forgiving each other when somebody wrongs us? Perhaps rather than rattling off your frustration, actually you just show love and grace to that person. That would be a great way of reflecting the love that God has for us. I've already mentioned it, but what about building people up, encouraging them, giving them some sort of encouragement? That is a great way to show people that you love them. What about offering a listening ear? And clearly many people are feeling isolated and they just want somebody to listen to them. So maybe that's a way that you could show somebody that you love them. There's a bit of a principle here about we are to love others as we love ourselves. And in today's cultural context, that can be clouded sometimes. But if we just look at the root of it, if we have a need for ourselves, we would attempt to meet it. If we have a hurt, we would attempt to heal it. If we have a responsibility, we would do everything we could to fulfill that responsibility. And clearly that love of ourselves should be extended to the love of others. So I need to move on quickly because we are running out of time. I talked about the fact that we were going to look about a story that Jesus told, a parable. The Good Samaritan is what we're going to look at. And again, I'm just going to read that to you. This one I have got open with my bookmark here. So it's Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 25, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself," quoting scripture we looked at earlier. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." A great example there of who is our neighbour. The Samaritan in this case was the neighbour to the person who found himself lying close to dead on the side of the road. And so there are three things that I just want to pull out from this passage. First of all, we don't know anything about the man who was lying on the side of the road. He could have been a religious leader. He could have been a very good man. But equally, he could have been a thief himself, and had become, beaten up by other thieves. And so I think what I want to draw from this is that We're to love anybody. Doesn't matter who the person is in need. Doesn't matter if they're a friend, a neighbour, a family member. Whoever is in need and whoever comes across our path that needs help, we need to help them. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. The second was this: the Levite looked with curiosity, the priest looked at him with contempt, but the Samaritan looked at him with compassion. And there was no sense of gratitude from, it doesn't talk about, I'm sure there probably was, but there was no, in the story that Jesus told, there was no sense of gratitude. So we don't hear that the person left on the side of the road is particularly thankful or says, oh, thank you so much, I'm really grateful. And it's a little bit like the Nike quote, isn't it? Just do it. Do you know, sometimes it's just something we need to do. We don't need to do these things. We don't need to share God's love because we want to receive thanks or praise in return. We just need to do it. And finally, perhaps most commonly kind of brought out by this story is about the fact that love needs action. Clearly, the Good Samaritan may well have got blood on his suit. He may have got dirty knees. He had to invest his time and his money. And so we should take example from that. We should also look at getting stuck in and seeing where the need is and helping people in their time of need. Now, the two people who ignored the person on the side of the road may well have been very good people. They may well have actually been going on to do something very honourable, maybe going on to lead a religious service or something, but they still chose not to do what was in their path at that time. And again, I think that challenges us to make sure that we think about what our priorities are. Our priority, as we're commanded to, is to love God and love others as ourselves. And so I think during this time, as we go into another lockdown, it would be really good just to reflect on the concept of loving others and perhaps go away and spend some more time looking at a couple of those scriptures that I've referred to today, and looking at the story of the Good Samaritan and thinking about how we can apply those principles to our lives in this lockdown. That brings me to the end of my sermon. I hope and pray, as I said at the beginning, that the love of God is known to you in such a real way that it sustains you and upholds you. I was encouraged by Sean making reference to the fact that we build our lives upon a rock so that when the storm and the rains come, we can stand firm. I pray and hope and trust that that is something that you can really hold on to as we go through these weeks, taking us at the very least until the end of half term. If I could just close by praying, I think that would be the most fitting way to end our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you because you first loved us. Father, we pray that that love you have for us, that sacrifice that you made of sending your son Jesus to die on the cross, would cause us, would compel us to love others with a love that comes from you. Father, I pray that you would guide us, direct us, and lead us and talk to us about realistic and real ways in which we can share the love of God with others during this time. Father, we ask that those who need an extra portion of your love, that you would send people their way to encourage them and be with them and to listen to them. Father, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and despite this terrible situation we find ourselves in, we know that you are sovereign, that you are king, and that you are in charge of all things. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, those of you who have listened in. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. Take care. God bless.